We've seen several good examples of unfinished business this week. Wednesday night, pictures on television of President Bush at Mount Rushmore making a speech of dedication. Mount Rushmore is 50 years old, but in the rush to open it up, 50 years ago it was never dedicated. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore? If you look up on the mountain, it's clear that it's not completely finished. If you look at the face on the left, George Washington, it's finished down part way. If you look at the other faces on the mountain, they're not finished completely. That's because the sculptor, a man by the name of Gutzon Borglum, planned to finish all four of those heads all the way down to the waist. But he didn't, because he died. The work was stopped. And although it's the shrine of democracy, to this day, 50 years later, it's still unfinished. Same night, click the channel, Sandy Patty, singing with the Boston Pops, some big 4th of July celebration. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people there, singing that old song from the 60s, I guess. Let there be peace on earth. The peace that was meant to be. Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me. Click the channel. Pictures from a faraway place called Slovenia. Tanks and guns and bombs and bullets and brother against brother and father against son and men killing men. Let there be peace on earth, but not in Slovenia. Unfinished business. Perhaps the most poignant of all. It happened this way. He went on vacation to Arizona and Utah several months ago. He had just finished making the first episode of a new TV series to premiere this fall, a TV series called Us. While he was on vacation in Arizona and Utah, he had some pains in his chest. Went back to see the doctor. When the doctor examined Michael Landon, he found out he had pancreatic cancer. No chance. No hope. And he died last Monday at the age of 54. The star of Bonanza, of Little House on the Prairie, and of Highway to Heaven, and one of the most popular actors in America. Dead at the age of 54. If you want to talk about unfinished business, that's probably the place to begin. There's no greater tragedy, I suppose, than people who die too soon. Or people who die too young. Or people who die with an unfinished agenda. Or people who die with dreams unfulfilled. People who die with projects undone. People who die before they've done everything they want to do. It's true of all of us, isn't it? We all know what unfinished business is all about. I mean, we see it in small ways all the time. The half-mowed lawn, the half-read book, the letter that you started and then put aside, the painting that you began and then put aside into the attic somewhere, the degree that you were going to complete, and you've got half your coursework done. It's been 10 years. The phone call that you promised yourself you were going to return. The diet you started and then you abandoned. Unfinished business. We see it in more serious ways, don't we? The abandoned child. The wrecked marriage. The man or the woman who hops from one job to another, to another, to another. The promise you made that you didn't keep. Most of us go through life looking back at a trail of broken promises, of unfulfilled dreams, of projects started and never completed, of roads we started down and then backtracked to go another way. How few there are of us who can come to the end of life and look back and say with satisfaction, I have done everything that I set out to do. No, the truth of the matter is, most of us know more than we would like to know about unfinished business. In fact, in all of history, there's only one person who could say with complete truthfulness, I have finished the course that was set for me. In all of history, there's only been one person who could come to the end of his life and who could say with complete and absolute truthfulness, I have finished everything that I set out to do. And that person was Jesus Christ. We know it is true because we have His word on it. The place was Jerusalem. The time was AD 33. It was Friday afternoon, 305, 306, 307, somewhere along in there. Jesus has been hanging on the cross for 6 hours now, 3 hours of sunlight and 3 hours of darkness. At the end of the 3 hours of darkness, He cries out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And then immediately after that, He cries out, I thirst. And then moments pass and another moment and another moment. And it's clear that He is dying. It's clear that in just seconds He will be gone. And suddenly, He screams out. He shouts out with all the energy that is left in Him. It is finished. Three words in English. But in Greek, only one word. Tetelestai. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. Tetelestai comes from a Greek verb, which means to complete something, to accomplish a task. It means to set a course for yourself and come successfully to the end of the course. It means more than just to end something. It means to start something and continue in it and come to a successful completion at the end. So it is finished means it is completely finished. It is totally accomplished. It is successfully done and over with. Now, there is a little something I should tell you. And that is when Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished. He used a tense in the Greek language that is called the perfect tense. There are different tenses, and the perfect tense is the one that you use when you want to say something very special. It refers to this. The perfect tense refers to an act in the past that has continuing results up unto the present. Let me say that again. It means more than I finished it in the past. When Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is finished, what He was really saying is, it was finished. It is still finished. And it will be finished forever. It was complete. It is complete. And it will remain complete forever. It was done. It is done. And it will remain done forever. Now note carefully that when Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished, He did not say, I am finished. For that might imply that He was tired and weary and exhausted and just glad to be over with it. That's not what He said. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Indicating that this word, Tetelestai, that phrase in English, it is finished, is not the cry of a defeated man. It is the cry of the victorious Son of God who has completed everything that God wanted Him to do. Now, when you read that in John chapter 19, where it says that Jesus cried out, it is finished, when you read that, only one question grips the mind. Only one question. What was finished? What was finished when Jesus said, it is finished? That is the question. What was finished? You read the commentators, you find many different answers to that question. Let me just pick up on what one man had to say about it. His name was Matthew Henry. I quote him to you from time to time. He was a great English commentator on the Bible who lived over 300 years ago. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this verse, it is finished, said that when Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished, He was basically saying that eight different things were finished. Number one, the malice of the enemies of Christ was finished. They had done all they could do. They could do no more. Number two, when Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished, the agonies ordained by God for His Son They were complete and fulfilled and accomplished. Number three, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that meant that the types and the prophecies of the Old Testament had come to their fulfillment in the death of Jesus Christ. Number four, when Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. The whole ceremonial system of the Old Testament was done away with. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, the whole ceremonial system? What I mean is that in the old system, when you wanted to be sure of your relationship with God, you had to bring an animal for sacrifice. You had to bring a bull or a goat or a lamb, a pigeon, a turtle dove. You had to bring some kind of animal, and the blood of the animal would be sacrificed on the altar. When Jesus died, and when he cried out, "It is finished," one thing that he meant was that that old ceremonial system was done away with forever. You want to know the proof of that this morning? There's not a single person here who brought a lamb to church this morning. There's nobody here who brought a bull to church this morning. There's nobody here who brought a pigeon to church this morning or a goat to church this morning. And the reason you didn't bring those animals to church this morning is because when Jesus died on the cross, that old sacrificial system, that old system of animal sacrifices was done away with forever, once and for all, never to be brought back again. Number five, when Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. He was saying that the debt of sin had been paid in full. Number six, when Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. He was saying that the sufferings of his life had come to an end. Number seven, when he cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. He was saying that his life was at an end. Number eight, when he cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. The meaning was that the work of redemption had been completed. Matthew Henry goes on to say, what did the death of Christ accomplish? He names four things. Number one, it was full satisfaction for the sin of man. Number two, it was a fatal blow to Satan. Number three, it meant that a fountain of grace was now open for all mankind. And number four, it meant that a foundation for peace and righteousness was laid, which would last forever. Now, all of that is just a survey of some of the answers. But it still really doesn't get down to it, does it? Let me come back just to the word itself. Tetelestai, tetelestai, it is finished. Let me see if I can explain that to you this morning. The Greek scholars, the people who study the papyri and the old evidence that's 2,000 years old, tell us that this Greek word, tetelestai, was not just a religious word. They tell us, and this is very important, that the word tetelestai comes ultimately from the word, from the world of commerce, from the world of business and trade. They tell us that archaeologists have dug up ancient receipts written on papyri and written on pottery, ancient business receipts for when a man owed another man some money, when that man paid the money, the man who received the money would give him a receipt, and on the receipt he would write tetelestai, which meant paid in full. Which means that if you came to me and tried to buy a goat, when you gave me the money, I'd give you a receipt. And on the receipt it would say tetelestai, paid in full. If I came to you to buy some pomegranates, when I gave you the money for the pomegranate, you'd give me a receipt. And on the receipt it would say, tetelestai, paid in full. If you did me a favor, and I owed you some money, when I paid you the money, you would give me back the receipt. And it would say, tetelestai, paid in full. That is to say, this word that Jesus uttered is a word that comes over from the business world. It means not only it is finished, not only does it mean it is complete, it means paid in full. Now, when something's paid in full, you don't have to pay for it yourself. True? When it's been paid in full, you don't have to pay for it yourself because it's already been paid for once. Several weeks ago when we were out on vacation, we were coming back this way from Arizona, We stopped in Norwood, Colorado, to visit our dear friends Grant and Fern Brown. Grant is a pastor out in the far west end of Colorado, little old tiny town, Norwood, maybe 1,000 people in it, just a little dot on the map. We stopped and we were going to spend the night with them. We've known them for years. And when they come through Chicago, they stop and spend the night with us. But we were going to spend the night with them. And when I called up Grant to make the arrangements, he said, "Ray, we're going to put you in a hotel." I said, "You don't put us in a hotel. We'll just sleep on the floor." He said, "You don't understand. Our house here is not big enough." Maybe he meant not safe enough for our family. I don't know. It's not big enough. We don't have enough room for you. And he said, "We've already gotten a hotel room for you." And then he went on to say, "And you don't have to worry about paying for it. I've already paid for the hotel room." And I said, "What anybody would say, Grant, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. I'll pay for my own hotel room." And he said, no. He said, "When I come to visit you, I stay at your house. When you come to visit me, I put you up in the hotel and I pay for it." So that night we stayed in a little restored hotel called the Back Narrows Inn. Very nice place. And Grant had indeed paid for it. Paid it in full before we even got there. Now what if I had gone up to the innkeeper when I checked out and said, "Sir, I want to pay for my hotel room"? What would he say? He would say, "You can't. It's already paid for." That's what paid in full means. If something has been paid in full, then you can't pay for it a second time. If somebody has already paid the price for you, then you can't pay for it yourself. Do you see the theological significance of that? That when Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai," he was not just saying, "I'm about to die." He was saying, "The price for sin has been paid in full." You're to imagine it's this way. Suppose we took a rubber stamp like this. Suppose we took a little card like this. And suppose we listed your sins on this card. Here's what tetelestai really means. Suppose your sin is greed. Then God stamps on your card, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's lust, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's bitterness, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's anger, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's gluttony, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's adultery, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's alcohol abuse, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's drug abuse, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it's disobedience, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Suppose it is unforgiveness toward others, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Do you understand what it really means? That when God looks down at your life, He doesn't just see the record of your sins. He sees the record of your sins stamped with the word "Tetelestai" across it, paid in full. That's the meaning. That's the meaning of the saying, "It is finished." What sin is keeping you from God this morning? What sin is it that you think God will not forgive? You say, "Pastor, you don't know my sin." That's right. I don't think I want to either. But let me tell you this. God already knows the depth of your sin. Your sins, He knows them one by one. And here is the good news. Whatever is on your list this morning was already stamped, "Tetelestai, paid in full," 2,000 years ago. That's the meaning of the phrase, "It is finished." And if there's anything keeping you from God this morning, it ought not to be your sins, because God already knows about your sins, and He already stamped them, "Paid in full, tetelestai," 2,000 years ago. I make my conclusion. Three applications this morning. Number one, since Jesus paid the price in full, that means the work of salvation is now complete. Since Jesus paid the price in full, the work of salvation is now complete. The work has been accomplished. The debt has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. Tetelestai, paid in full. And you know what that word tetelestai means? It means it has been paid. It is now paid. It will always be paid in full. Which is why the work of Jesus Christ was sufficient back then. It is sufficient today and will be sufficient forever. Which is why the death of Jesus Christ need never be repeated. It happened one time, once for all, never to be repeated. Tetelestai, paid in full. That is why from time to time, you will hear theologians use a special phrase, and you need to know what it means. You will sometimes hear theologians and writers use the phrase, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard that phrase? Not if you've heard it. The finished work of Jesus Christ. It refers back to this saying of Jesus. The finished work of Jesus Christ means that because He paid in full the price of your sins and the sins of the whole world, His work of salvation is now finished and need never be repeated. It was good then. It's good today. It'll be good and efficacious forever and ever. That's number one. Here is number two. Since the price of sin has been paid in full, any attempt to add to what Jesus did on the cross, since the price has been paid in full, any attempt to add to what Jesus did on the cross is foolishness and folly and can only lead to ruin and despair. Now listen, I'm going to read to you from what you would think would be a very dry document. This is the statement of faith from an evangelical seminary here in America, Article 7, Salvation Only Through Christ. But this to me is one of the most moving statements I've ever read. We believe that, owing to universal death through sin, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless born again. Listen. And that no degree of reformation, however great, no attainments in morality, however high, no culture, however attractive, no baptism or other ordinance, however administered, can help the sinner to take even one step toward heaven. But a new nature imparted from above and a new life implanted by the Holy Spirit through the Word is absolutely essential to salvation, and only those thus saved are sons of God. We believe also that our redemption has been accomplished solely by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was made to be sin and was made a curse for us, dying in our place and in our stead. And that no repentance, no feeling, no faith, no good resolutions, no sincere efforts, no submission to the rules and regulations of any church, nor all the churches that have existed since the days of the apostles, can add in the very least degree to the value of the blood or to the merit of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now that's a heavy statement. What that means, which being interpreted is, when he said, it is finished, he meant it. It is finished. And there's nothing you can add to it. Let me tell you what God is not doing this morning. God is not trying to sell you salvation. God is not trying to sell you salvation at a bargain basement price. God is not offering you salvation on a Dutch treat basis. You pay a part and I'll pay a part. God is not offering you salvation on the installment plan. Pay a little bit today, pay a little bit tomorrow, pay a little bit next week, next year. No, God is offering you salvation free of charge. That's what tetelestai means, that salvation is free of charge. Therefore, if the price has indeed been paid in full, there's nothing you can add to it. And therefore, if you try to add anything, however good, to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it means that you don't believe He really paid it all. Number three, with this I finish. Since Jesus Christ paid it all, the only thing you can do with salvation is accept it or reject it. Do you hear that? Since Jesus Christ paid it all, the only thing you can do with salvation is to accept it or reject it. Tetelestai. 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 Paid in full. Paid in full. Paid in full. You either believe that or you don't. You either stake your life upon it or you don't. And how does that old hymn go that we sing from time to time? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. Tetelestai. Paid in full. Now this morning, I want to ask you the question, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus and His finished work on the cross for you? Will you continue to go your own way? Will you continue to try to add your own good works to what Jesus Christ has already done? Will you continue to try to get salvation on the installment plan or try to get salvation on a Dutch treat deal? God's not offering it that way. He's saying you take it my way or not at all. And His way is that you take it free of charge because He's already paid the price for it. You say, Pastor Ray, how do I get this salvation you're talking about? We're going to have a word of prayer right now. Only I don't want you to bow your heads. I don't want you to close your eyes. I want you just to look at me. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I've ever really accepted Jesus Christ. How can I do it? May I lead you in a prayer right now? Heads unbowed, eyes open, looking at me. I'm going to give you a little prayer. I'm going to say it just sentence by sentence by sentence. And if in your heart, this is the prayer of your heart, just say it in your heart after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for paying the full price for all my sins. Lord Jesus, I take You as my Savior. Right here, right now, I ask You to come into my life and save me. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. I ask You to come into my life. Help me to live a life pleasing to You from this day forward. For Jesus' sake, amen. Did you pray the prayer and really mean it from your heart? Did you, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, friend, visitor, did you this morning pray that prayer for the very first time and mean it? Welcome to the family of God. If you did pray that prayer, in just a few minutes when this service is over, I'll be back in the lobby. As we're exiting, I'm going to ask you to come back and shake my hand. And just shake it and say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I'll know exactly what you meant. I won't embarrass you in any way. In fact, I'd like to give you a little gift that will help you begin to grow in your Christian life. But just remember, when the service is over, come back and see me and say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I would surely be glad to know it. Now, Heavenly Father, may many people, men and women, boys and girls, who have never trusted in Jesus Christ, may many who have trusted in themselves and in their own good works, may many people today trust Jesus Christ and His finished work for their salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.